of the masquerade. The mask was removed, and what was spoken was the reality. And we bear witness of this with our spirit. This is the operation of the Holy Ghost in our midst to reveal, to declare, and to show truth. Brother Heiner, you just don't know. I was standing looking over a field yesterday. There were cows in the field. It's a nice green field. And I begin to, I don't know what, if it's the way my mind works, but it's like sentences were being put together for me to have a dialogue with my stepmother. And they were going a little bit like this. You know, why don't you get over yourself and let me continue the legacy of my father and send me one of those white-faced Herefords out here. I kid you not. Sentences are just being put together. And I started thinking about that, and I think, should I send that in an email? Should this be a phone conversation? And the word of the Lord came to me and said, your father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's not over until it's over. Brother Heiner. A month ago, I ministered on the subject, unfinished business. If you're here today and you feel prompted to do so, might be good to go back and listen to that. It streams off of our website. You can ask Brother Kendrick back there where that's at. But for the last couple of days, I thought the Lord was just talking to me for me. But this morning, I feel like the Lord wants to help somebody. I'm not going to say that this is some prophetic word to you, but for somebody, the Lord's wanting to really help you and carry you through. Genesis chapter 45 at verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Now, can you imagine the day? Jacob was at home, saw from a distance his sons coming home, carrying something, heads hanging, only to come through the door and to show Dad, is this Joseph's coat? Some wild beast has fallen upon him and killed him. And Joseph no longer lives. Now, there's things that come to us in life. There's reports that are given. There's messages that come from somebody. And there's something that rises up within the individual and humanity that says, no way! And there's something on the inside even that puts up a wall and says, I refuse to even hear that. I won't receive that. And even though as time passes on and the evidence begins to be laid out, it would appear as though the impossible has somehow become possible. But something on the inside still refuses to hear it, to receive it, or to resolve that this is somehow the end of the story. Whether it be innate, whether it be something God-given, I don't know. But you know, as an individual, it may be some unspoken thing, something you'll never talk to anybody else about, but within you, you know. I'm going to go along with this. You know, people would accuse you of burying your head in the sand. There's a more popular term now. You're in denial. And yet time passes by and years pass by. And I just sense that in the life and the spirit of Jacob, he heard it with his ears. He saw the bloodied coat with his eyes. But something hangs in the heart of a father and a mother that this is not the end. This is not the end. And no matter the time that passes, no matter how dim even those feelings would become, there's something that causes you to hold out and hold on. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And so we see the painted story of two ends. First, a father hearing the evil report that his son was no longer alive. And then now we have a son who has been held in secrecy, who, as far as the rest of the family is concerned, they've shut it out. They've blocked it out. And enough distance and time is now passed, it is very possible now for us to believe a lie and to convince even ourselves that Joseph was completely out of the picture. He would never return to the picture. Yet in some far distant land, we have a lad whose life has changed in a moment. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth when he reveals himself to his brothers is the nagging, longing thing that is held on for all these years. Doth my father yet live? It's interesting, the things that develop between parents and their offspring, maybe even sometimes between siblings. But there's things that attach us as offspring that even time doesn't diminish. And even at the passing of a previous generations, it's like there are things that continue to surface through time that tries to keep the attachment there, as though that individual is still living. It's like we are an extension of something that began, and as long as we continue to procreate, it will never end because it passes from generation to generation. Sometimes family members are distanced, cities, states, countries, continents. But yet there's something that lingers in the makeup of our humanity, which God created, that keeps us attached. When, you know, sometimes there's conversations that take place. You know, you don't remember all the good ones as much as we remember that one bad one. Those coarse words that were spoken, you haven't spoken since. You're not sure if you'll ever speak again. And you build up the resolve in your own self of, well, maybe it's not even necessary anymore. That's my former life. I am on into my present life. And I will live on into my future life. And they, or that person, that individual, is not a part of my future. Until something, God or not, I don't know, revisits and resurfaces those things in us that says, it ain't over. This isn't the end. This is incomplete. This is unfinished. And even though, you know, we muse over the odds, we muse over the impossible odds of feelings, of words spoken, there's something that comes from God, I believe, that says it ain't over. There were two brothers. Oh, Esau and Jacob, who had become so parted. No, wait a minute. Yeah. The tension between the two of them was so deep, you would have thought it impossible for them to have ever dialogued again. Matter of fact, one would spend considerable time running for his life from the other one. One saying, I'm going to kill you if I ever see you again. And the other one running, thinking, if he ever sees me again, he's going to kill me. And after many, many, many years, the Spirit of the Lord comes to Jacob and tells him it's time for him to go home. Do I? I got the right people. He's on me. I'm sorry. And then we read the account of Jacob heading home and receiving the message that Esau was coming to him as well. But contrastingly, Esau was bringing 400 men with him with the intent that he was coming to kill Jacob. Now, you want to talk about a spirit of unrest? Something being fed, something rising up, and a bitterness and a hatred. And yet, somewhere in that process, you know, Jacob began to seek the Lord. He tried to devise his own ways. He's, you know, thought, well, man, he's going to kill us all. We better at least divide up. So if he kills you, we'll get away, or, you know. So he divides up his own family and sends some this way and some that way and some ahead. And then he arranges all these gifts. His mind was busy at work trying to figure out how is he going to survive through this situation. He sends gifts ahead. And then as he sees his brother coming in the distance, he gets down upon the ground. He finds a place of humility possibly that he's never found before. And he bows before his coming brother. And he has sought the Lord. He's wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long. He's walking now with a limp because the angel has touched his thigh. And now he's getting on the ground and he's bowing before him. He's taking every measure he can think of possible. Because he loves his brother so much. No. He's still trying to preserve his life here. That's a tense situation. That's a situation that every one of us would want to avoid. But something happened in about this long of a time. And when they came together, they fell upon each other's necks. Esau was coming to kill him. But something had touched the heart of Esau. And they fell on each other's necks and embraced. And it's one of the greatest reunions we ever hear about in Scripture. One of the greatest reunions. I dare say that there are those here today that there are situations that you have already wrote off. Didn't play out like it should have. Didn't play out how I wanted it to. But this is impossible odds, and I don't see any way possible for this to ever be rectified. I have resolved I will probably go to my grave. They will go to their grave. And hopefully when we get on the other side, hopefully, there'll be an answer for all of this. It ain't over for you. It's not over for you. Verse 4, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me thither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, listen, when we begin to consider and count all of the things that are going to have to transpire in order for there to be some resolve, the list grows long. And then we look at our own age and we say, I don't know if there's enough time left for what needs to happen before this can ever somehow be resolved. We read the account and the record of how many years after they went home and told their dad the lie, that they lived separated and Joseph was being hidden and then hidden deeper to the place that he was finally serving, deep into the place of a prison. For many years, hiding him. Now that's an impossible place to come out of. Except when it's God's time. Something hidden will be uncovered in just a moment. There was a little boy born. Strange set of circumstances. And he was separated from his family. Separated from his brothers and sisters. I was one of the brothers and sisters. Somehow, the account was held secret. Somehow that even though we watched a couple carry him out of the hospital and we went the other way, somehow we never discussed it. For over 37 years, we never discussed it. No brother or sister said, hey, did you know? And whatever happened to? And what was the deal? That never happened. God held something in secret and kept it covered. And it would be easy for somebody to say, Well, something happened in the past and it was gone. My mother would later tell us that whenever she would move to a city near where she thought that young child was, she would go looking. She would go looking for the adopted parents. They were friends, people they knew. And for whatever reason, it was held shut year after year after year after year. I remember one time my mother's husband was transferred to Waco, Texas. And she told later how that when she was in Waco, she would get in the car and she would drive and she would thank God. Something was undone. Something was incomplete. Something was unfinished. And there was something in her heart that said, it's undone. There's got to be a turn of events. There's got to be a change of this story. And it didn't happen in Waco. Several years later, I was just visiting one of my younger sisters who was struggling in California. And she brought it up. And when she did, the door opened. All of a sudden, I remembered. I had visual of those people taking that child out. I remember them holding the baby and letting us see outside the hospital window in Germany. And it's like, where's this been? Where's this been after all these years? In 24 hours, I was talking to him on the telephone. The Lord can take some of the most obscure circumstances that we have at times wondered whether we'd lost hope for it or we're still holding the promises for it. In a moment, I'm telling you, in a moment, in consideration of a lifetime, he can open the door. He can turn the page that the events that were held in secret for so many years. Doth my father yet live? And in a matter of what would be hours or days or whatever, however long it took to take wagons and chariots, there was a reunion that took place. I don't know why that I'm thinking about this so much this morning. Over the last few days, the Lord's been dealing with me with some thoughts, and I thought this morning about the end run for Joseph and his brothers and his father. God gave favor with the king of the land. God gave favor not just to a pastor in a church. God gave favor to the king in the land to turn to Jacob and to his father and brothers and said, I will give to you the good of the land. Oh, leave that junk there. Throw that stuff away. I'm going to give you the best of Goshen. When the Lord turns the page of our difficult, unacceptable circumstances, he can bring us to a place called Goshen. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Somebody here today, I'm telling you, the Lord wants you to keep faith, to hold on to his promises. There are things that you hold dear to your heart, maybe that you've shared with nobody else. But between you and him, he knows the desires of your heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put first things first. And he's got a plan working in behind scenes. And he's going to reveal to you in a day and in a moment You're going to see the desires of your heart begin to unfold in front of you and wonder, how did this even happen? It's because he who knows the beginning from the end, he which created you and put it destiny upon your life. Would you stand with me? I wish I had time with you today to sit down and let you tell me your circumstances and your stories. Some of them I've heard. And you would reiterate this today because you've seen these things unfold in your life. Those things that were hidden, those things that seemed impossible, God made a way. He made a way when it seems to be no way. It's his specialty. It's his specialty. And we read of the latter end of Job in account after account in Scripture that what started to be so devastating or took such a devastating turn when a person's life was pointed toward the Lord and submitted to him, submitting all things to him, acknowledge him in all of our ways, that he would direct our path. Directing. He's directing. No, not this. Stop. Don't talk. You talk. You say. Directing. Leading. Ordering our steps. See, and we thought it was all about finding a good church. It's you and it's him. And it's your place in the body of Christ which positions you. Praise God. If he's gave to you a glimpse, hold on to the glimpse. If he has shared to you things that you have held in your heart that seem so unbelievable you wouldn't dare tell anybody about them, hold on. With man, most everything's impossible. With God, all things are possible to them that believe and that call upon his name. If I thought I could finish and put this microphone down, I would, but I don't, and I can't. I don't know if that means somebody is still standing unconvinced, unpersuaded. I'm not sure. But I feel the Spirit of the Lord trying to press through it to the end. Until you take hold for you and brush off the idea that, well, wow, he's talking to somebody else in this room. And it's your situation that he's wanting to talk to you about and give to you precious promises. Would you sing?
You